The second reading today is printed on the back of the bulletin and also comes from the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words that are spoken here and now draw us further into your presence and into your grace. May you open our hearts and minds to hear your word for us today. Amen. So, have you ever heard that everyone has their own love language? Everyone has their own way of understanding what love is. Gary Chapman is a man who wrote a book titled The Five Love Languages, and it was used to help married couples communicate better. I think it helps everyone who reads it communicate better. Some people know they're only truly loved when they receive affirmation, when there are affirming words said to them, when they are paid a compliment. Some of us need quality time, and it's quality time that helps us know that we are well loved. Some need acts of service. Some need words of affirmation. And last, some need affection. Affection is another love language that, you know, to have a physical reaching out to helps people to understand that they are loved. And for the last group, understand that they are loved when they receive gifts. So receiving gifts is one way to speak love to one another. So this kind of makes sense, right? That everyone would have their own unique way of understanding love. When you get spoken to in a love language that is meaningful to you, then the world just kind of seems to stop, right? Time is suspended, and there's an expanse of all of your perceptiveness. Right? That's kind of how it is when we have that moment of love. Well, I was thinking about this in terms of our relationship with God. Each of us has a unique spirit that understands God from a certain perspective, that each of us might fall in love with God in a different way. And for some of us, that might be through intentional learning and studying scripture and other books. Some of us might fall in love with God through acts of service, either those that we do or those that are done to us. Some of us understand God's love when we experience what it is to offer mission. Some of the mission trips that folks go on, people come back and are transformed by what they've learned. Some of us know God's love through quality time that we spend with God in prayer and in worship and in praise and fellowship. And some of us see God in those who deliver extravagant generosity, right? Like the widow who gave all that she had for God. That is so beautiful when we see that, and it helps us to know God's love even more. So when you come in contact with God in a love language that you understand, time seems to stop and an expanded reality is set before you. Part of the reason that I decided to do some preaching and teaching through literature and cinema this summer is to consider that some people may come to know God through a language that's spoken outside the church, right? I mean, isn't that true? The Spirit's free to go wherever it will. The Spirit's free to move everywhere. And the traditional church has become a place where many just don't get the language that we speak here. One hope that I have through this series is that you are able to perceive God in some powerful ways through culture. I also hope to expand your concept of how to have a conversation with someone who's unchurched, someone who's never heard Scripture, who's not familiar with it. I've learned myself that Scripture has so much baggage attached to it. And when people try to sit down and talk about God, sometimes poetry and short stories and movies make it easy to talk about God and allow us even further freedom to question concepts of God. You know, if you've ever belonged to a book club, you know what I'm talking about. Any of you belong to a book club? You can certainly get off on some tangents and learn some things. Some things become revealed and easy to talk about through that. One of my favorite quotes from St. Teresa of Avila says, "All concepts of God are like a jar we break." You know, we put God in this little box and we understand him from this certain language that we've heard before. But, you know, we only keep growing if that jar breaks and that box pops open and we learn about God through other avenues as well. While God is unchanging, our ability to see and understand God and God's ways, our growing in faith continues to change our whole entire life. So this letter to the Thessalonians that Ken just read is one of my favorite pieces. It's a love letter to the people of God. And it's so encouraging and it's so affirming to the church. But what is so interesting about this letter, I think, is that, did y'all know that letter is the very first letter, the very first sharing of the gospel that was written? All the gospel was oral tradition, and 1 Thessalonians is the first written record of the gospel, written by the Apostle Paul. It's the earliest witness of the gospel of Christ. And amazingly, this one little teeny five-chapter letter holds the entire gospel within it. We can read the first chapter, the 10th verse, and it says, "You turned to God from idols to serve a living and a true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath that is coming." Wow, that one sentence, that is amazing. The whole gospel is recorded in that one sentence. And that gospel is not some message that changed over time. The whole of it was revealed in Christ and shared through his disciples. This letter says God is alive, God's Son was raised from the dead, and provides salvation, all in that one verse. So in the 5th chapter that Ken read this morning, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church to keep mindful of that salvation. Don't forget about that salvation in Christ, that we need to continue to keep living in the light with faith and hope and love, even though it seemed to them like it was taking a horribly long time for Christ to come back again. They were waiting for Christ's return, and they thought it was taking too long, and they were falling asleep, and they were falling into the darkness of the world. And the Apostle Paul said, no, you need to stay awake. You need to keep living in the light. The Apostle Paul wanted the church to consider that the fullness of time that they were waiting for was already, if they would only live as children of the light. So So this theme of living in the light and not darkness, of not falling asleep, is repeated over and over in Scripture. Jesus spoke harshly to the disciples who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? They fell asleep. They couldn't even stay awake in his hour of need, fell asleep. We also had, when Jesus taught the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, he said, you know, stay awake because you don't know when Christ is going to come again. And so keep those wicks trimmed and keep those lamps full of oil and be ready for Christ to come again, reminding the church that every moment counts, reminding us not to idle away our time, but everything that we might do might be that which fills our lamps so that we'll be ready in a time of need, so that we'll be ready and prepared for Christ to return. So I want you to hear these words today from Billy Collins. You received this poetry either from the usher or last week when you were here. This is the poem titled Days, and I invite you to listen. Each one is a gift, no doubt, mysteriously placed upon your waking hand or set upon your forehead moments before you open your eyes. Today begins cold and bright, the ground heavy with snow and the thick masonry of ice, the sun gleaming off the turrets of clouds. Through the calm eye of the window, everything is in its place, but so precariously, this day might be resting somehow on the one before it. All the days of the past stacked high like the impossible tower of dishes that entertainers used to build on stage. No wonder you find yourself perched on the top of a tall ladder, hoping to add one more. Just another Wednesday, you whisper. Then, holding your breath, place this cup on yesterday's saucer without the slightest clink. Each one is a gift, no doubt. Ends with this place. This poem begins with that each day is a gift, but ends with this place where the day doesn't even make a difference. It doesn't even make a sound when it hits the saucer of yesterday. We move through our days unable to perceive the fullness of God. The days are monotonous. The days are hard. Even though the sun is out there gleaming off the turrets of clouds. Billy Collins is a professor at Lehman College at the City University of New York. He was also the poet laureate of the White House from 2001 and 2003. Do you remember what happened in 2001? He wrote an absolutely astounding poem titled The Names to commemorate those who lost their lives in 9/11. He was the poet laureate of New York from 2004 to 2006. This man has lived during difficult times. He has lived through spiritually difficult places. And his poems really resonate for me as I perceive that his words expose a very deep spiritual need that each of us has. You know, days, this poem titled Days conveys the callous way that we treat time. You know, we look at our calendars and we say, okay, I'm doing this day and this that day, and days just fall one upon the other. Though each day is precious, we don't even give it a chance to realize its impact. It's impact in God's eyes and in God's kingdom. In the other poem that Billy Collins wrote, titled The Listener, he describes very powerfully this moments of full awareness, of the full presence of being aware of everything that is happening and being aware of God. One of the verses from that poem says, I hear the scissors moving at the tips of your hair and the dark snips as they fall on the marble floor. Well, as many times as I have tried to hear hair fall, I never have. Have you? Ever heard a hair fall on the ground? But these words that Collins uses perk up our senses. The depth of the moment is captured in each phrase. A little further on in that poem, he writes, I hear a plane humming, someone hammering, and then there is nothing but the white stone building of silence. You ever been in that place? The white stone building of silence. He concludes, you must be asleep. You must be asleep. But the poem ends in a moment where all creation is united. He listens to an ant walking across the floorboards, carrying a dead comrade. Time is suspended and all perceptions seem to expand in this poem. All creation is united in experience through this poem. Well, our scripture today similarly warns us not to fall asleep. But which of these readings, the scripture that you heard, or the poetry, make for good conversation with someone who has never been to church? Which one? Which one would you be able to talk about more easily? Does the culture experience God? Does the culture experience God without using gospel language? Without attending church? What are we missing? This concept of every moment having meaning and purpose is powerful when talking about the Christian journey. The Christian journey is one in which we live not only in chronos, the passing of time, but we live in kairos, the fullness of time. The ancient Celtic culture used prayer. They used a blessing for almost every moment of the day. I know most of us, and I'll include my household, we pray before meals. That's about it. We have silent prayers in morning times, and maybe in the evening when we go to bed. But in the Celtic tradition, the ancient tradition before Christianity, they prayed every minute of the day. Whether they were walking wool, whether they were lighting the hearth, whether they were taking a bath, whether they were preparing a meal, every moment of their day was an opportunity to honor God. When Christianity spread into Celtic regions, the Trinitarian nature of the Celtic prayers and blessings converted naturally to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why they created such a kind of a fire of conversion across Europe when Christianity moved in. Because you see, all of it points to one reality, one unchanging reality, no matter what our language is. One truth is exposed, the truth of God. To this day, the Iona community worships in the Abbey daily. They have several services during the day on the island of Iona. But there is no benediction there until evening prayer. Because whether you are going to scrub the loo or peel potatoes or wash windows or serve tea to guests, all of life is worship. There's a fullness of God in every moment. Now listen up, because this is my point for this morning. Here's the thing. This opportunity exists for us today. Everything we do can be an act of prayer, can be an opportunity to worship God. Every moment we can live with our attention focused on God. And in so doing, we invite others to do the same. and we witness to the gospel in all that is awake, all that is alive in Christ, no matter how numbing the world can be. This is called sacramental living. A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace, of something that's already there, that's happened, that's full. And it's an outward sign of that fullness. The power of the sacrament lies in the ability to bring to the present an eternal truth. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are sacraments. But what about something like praise hula? Their dance points to something beyond through what is thoroughly expressed in the presence. What about knitting a prayer shawl? What about taking part in a Bible study? What about going to a community meeting? Life in our fallen world is numbing and lifeless, but with God, each and everything we do has significance. Spending time reading with a child can be a sacrament. There is something happening more beyond the mere act of reading. Making dinner for family or friends, eating and talking, communion with God can indeed provide an eternity, a full presence during those meals that we share with others. But when we, the church, fall asleep, we are as numb as the rest of the world. Wake up! This moment contains the fullness of God. This person right next to us is the Christ. This energy in our heart is the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Take some time to be holy. Give your attention to anything and everything that you normally overlook, keeping mindful of God's presence each and every day is encouraging to others and builds up the body of Christ. Amen.